This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm coming back to you about this very important subject, and of course the world's eyes are, well, they're all about Israel and the Middle East, and that seems to be daily on the news. But if you're like me, a Bible believer, these things do not trouble us. In fact, they give us much hope in these last days when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah for the Jews and for the Gentiles, is going to come back the second time. And oh my, how Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Now, we've been covering this subject, if you're new to this program, we've been covering a very controversial subject, to whom does the land of Israel belong? And without question, we have covered many, many points and many verses from the Word of God. And the conclusion that we're coming to very quickly is the Bible says the land of Israel today as we know it, and even beyond the present borders, this land belongs to none other than the Jewish people. And we've already covered the fact that God has promised this to the Jews. He told us not to remove those ancient landmarks, and they're forbidden to do so. They have a command from God, and they are not allowed to mess around with those borders that God promised them. God gave them borders, of course, we've covered that. And if you're interested, you can order the tapes on this broadcast, on the series, To Whom Does the Land of Israel Belong? Just ask for that series, and we'll send you information how you can order that. But please write us and for that information. Towards the end of the program, we'll give you where to address that request. Now, we cover the fact that God is jealous over Israel. Oh, he sure is jealous. He's jealous with a godly jealousy. Now, there's no question about it, folks. God is very jealous over his wife. This is Jehovah's wife, as God speaks of that in the Bible. And so, I don't know about you, but I'm jealous over my wife. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. You're not going to lay your hands on her without causing the wrath of me. And therefore, it's no different with God Almighty. He's jealous. He's jealous over his wife, which is Israel. Now, this is all spiritual now. And the fact of the matter is, if you're jealous over your wife, we're talking about godly jealousy now. How much more do you think that God himself, I'm talking about the great, the almighty God, would be jealous over Israel? So I would not mess around with that country. I would not mess around with it. This is not your business. You have no business trying to deal with that. You just leave it alone. Get your hands off of that, and you'd be a lot wiser to do so. And we left off, I believe, there in Isaiah chapter 60. I read that whole chapter. We're beginning this aspect of the question, to whom does the land of Israel belong? And the aspect is that all nations one day will bow before Israel, the Jews. Can you imagine that? That all the nations, that God's going to make them subservient to the nation of Israel. Now, this is why, beloved, the devil and his false emissaries, which many of them in the government, in different governments of the world, this is why they have created these false documents. One in particular is very popular. I would say it's infamous. Is the Protocol of Zion. Oh, my soul. This is such a very anti-Semitic, anti-Jew, anti-Israel. And if you are anti-Jew, anti-Israel, then you're anti-God, period. There's no room for any flexibility there. If you're against the Jews, folks, you're against God. Remember, I've already brought out the fact that God considers them the apple of God's eye, and I'll get more into that later. But the fact is, that these are wicked, wicked, wicked documents. Lies. I mean, if they were true, it'd be one thing, but they're just flat-out lies. Listen, Israel does not have a hidden agenda to take over the world and call the shots. No, that is a myth. They don't want to do that. Listen, all throughout their history, they've had nothing but aggravation, frustration, enemies, and strife. They want friends. They don't want any more enemies than they already have. So, but you see how wily the devil is to create such a document. And so, what's the conclusion? Somebody reads this document, Protocols of Zion. It's a big flat lie. And they'll buy it and waste their money. And they'll read it. And then they'll say, well, hey, no wonder Hitler was trying to kill them. He was afraid that if they got so big and mighty, that the Jews would just take over Germany. And, oh, my. So, you know, it's so interesting that every time they have allowed the Jews to come into their country, any country, and have and begged the Jews, really, to get their economy in shape, then they wind up being afraid of them because of the contribution they make to the country. It always happens like that. That's the wrong kind of jealousy there. That's envy is what that is. And envy is just wicked. But that's what this document is. And the same thing happened to Pharaoh, who knew not Joseph. He rose up and said, oh my, these people are growing and they're greater than us, and we got to do something about it. So they put them, the Jews, into slavery to cause them to be subservient to them. It's all because of being afraid that the Jews are going to rise up and conquer them and put them into bonds. Now, here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that the Jews themselves do not desire this. The fact of the matter is that God had raised up Israel to be an example to all nations of the world. And any nation that would seek to go against Israel, then it was God's prerogative and it was God's predestinated plan for Israel to take over those nations that were at odds and enemies of the Jews, and to have Israel to conquer them and possess their land, but not to go beyond the possession that he already promised them. The only time a nation is should be concerned about whether they're going to be conquered by the Jews is when the nation rises up against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and there is only one true God, and that's God. That's God Almighty. That's Jehovah God. That's Elohim. That's Adonai. Folks, listen, there is only one God, and therefore the nations that rise up against the one and only God with their false idols and false religions, these are the people, these are the nations, historically, that God has pinned the nation of Israel against. So, again, it all comes back to God, the relationship that the nations have with God Almighty. So, the Protocols of Zion and many of these anti-Semitic documents are from the pit of hell. There actually are no, there's no validity to them. It's a document or documents that have been devised by the enemies of God in order to create an atmosphere of terror, of being afraid that the Jews are going to rise up. And, you know, in a real way, I would rather have a Jew taking care of my finances than anybody else. After all, let's face it, God has given them wisdom. If you look at all the great leaders of the world, most of them that had any wisdom about them recognize that having a Jew in a high place of office contributed many, many times to the peace and prosperity of that country. Just look at Daniel the prophet. Why, Nebuchadnezzar, he realized who Daniel was and put him in charge of such an important facet of the government. Look at Pharaoh, the Pharaoh there that knew Joseph, how brought Joseph up in basically second in command. And look at the wisdom that Joseph had exercised there in Egypt. And thank God for Joseph, because if Joseph hadn't been around, the world would have suffered starvation, and the Egyptians today wouldn't be alive. There wouldn't be such a thing as Egypt. And so if you're hearing this in Egypt, I would just plead with you that you ought not to be against the Jews. It was the Jews. It was Joseph who saved you from extinction. I mean it. As a people, God Almighty used a Jew to save Egypt, monetarily speaking. And Joseph is a type of the Messiah. Did you know that? That Joseph is a type of the Messiah? He sure is. One of these days, I'll have a program just on that. I'll have a program on the fact that Joseph is a type of the Messiah, Moses is a type of the Messiah, and David is a type of the Messiah being the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. And therefore, let's continue now with this aspect that all the nations will bow before Israel, the Jews. Well, we know that that is true. We know that all the anti-Semitism that has come up is false regarding Israel, that Israel is not trying to be the big bully, is not trying to just conquer the world just for greatness' sake. This is lies. But God has raised up Israel as an example to the nations, and God has protected them, and God has preserved them. Oh, you can see that God has preserved an ancient people, the chosen people of Israel. And God has said that the Jews, Israel, as a nation, that this nation is indestructible. In other words, you cannot devise any weapon. You cannot devise any means whatsoever to annihilate this nation. There have been many who have tried to do so, but have failed miserably. According to the book of Isaiah in the Tanakh, the Holy Scriptures, the King James Bible, in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, the Bible says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." Now that's talking about the seed of Abraham, and it's talking about the name of Israel. Isn't that amazing? We know what the new heavens and the new earth are going to be like. They're going to be forever. They'll never be destroyed. There'll never be another one after God creates a new heaven and a new earth. So like Israel, the nation of Israel will always be around. So you might as well get used to it, folks. You might as well just get right used to it, that the Jews are going to stick around as a people. Jeremiah chapter 31, the great prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as he was rightly called. But he sure had a burden, didn't he? Oh, yes, he had a great burden. It says in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 to 37, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon, and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hanel unto the gate of the corner, and the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gerib, and shall compass about to Goath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies, and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more forever. Can you imagine trying to figure out the height of the farthest universe or the farthest galaxy? Impossible. I mean, we feeble, finite human beings are trying to devise means to get up all the way up. We're creating our own Tower of Babel. That's right. We weren't satisfied with learning from our forefathers when they tried to build that big tower up to the heavens, and God had to destroy the Tower of Babel. Well, that's what they're trying to do today, you know. They're trying to go up there into the heavens and go beyond the second heaven and trying to go as far and farther and far as they can go. And I'm just here to tell you, beloved, that this is not the will of God to get up there into the second heaven. That's where the stars are. It's not the will of God. But even as they attempt to do so, God is allowing it. And by the way, that's a dangerous area to be up there, because we know that's the at least one of the abodes of the devil himself. Now, he cannot get into the very throne room of God. That would be the third heaven, but he sure flies around up there. And the Bible says that he's the prince and power of the air, and he does a lot of flying. He sure does. All those UFOs and all that spooky stuff is maybe not altogether a myth. There might be something going on there, and it's devilish for sure. But the fact of the matter is, do as you may, you'll never devise any kind of telescope or measuring device that can get to the very end of the end of the end. There's impossible, humanly impossible, because there is no end. It's eternal out there. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. And you know, it's interesting there back in 1958, as I recall, some information I read about back regarding the time when the scientists were itemizing and making a catalog of all the stars in 1958, that they had discovered that there were 2,500 clusters of galaxies, and that every cluster had 50 galaxies in it. They said that now get a load of this. I mean, this is amazing. It shows you how immense it is out there. And that every galaxy, notice this, now every galaxy had 100 billion stars. Can you believe that? 100 billion stars. That's what they're trying to figure out. And this was only back there in 1958. And with the measuring devices they had and the telescopes they had and all of that, they still said it was a minimum of 100 billion stars out there in every galaxy. There are 50 galaxies per cluster, and there are 2,500 clusters of galaxies. So, when do you think you're going to be able to figure out the end of the end of the end? Hey, listen, when you do, then you got the formula to destroying the nation of Israel. In fact, if we would just recognize this, those nations that are seeking to destroy Israel would give up right away. There is absolutely no way under heaven they're going to be able to succeed in destroying the nation of Israel. God has promised that unless you can figure out these ordinances and the very height of it and the depth of it, if you can, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, why, if you can do all that, why, then God will, he'll bring everything against the nation of Israel for all the evil that they've done. But until then, why, you better just stop in your tracks and give up. Now, the Bible teaches very clearly in Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 28, "Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee. For I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee. but correct thee in measure, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. Now, there are many lessons here. Number one lesson is that if you're a Jew, and if you are an Israeli especially, listening to this broadcast, I encourage you to realize that no matter what the threats are out there, no matter how many nations are rising up against you, I want you to understand that God has said he is with that nation. That's right. He's with the nation of Israel. He is not with those nations that are rising up against you. No, not whatsoever. And he says that he has made a full end of those nations that were against Israel. We look back in history and we can validate that that's true. Every nation under heaven that's ever rose up against the nation of Israel has been destroyed. And only Israel survives today. Amazing. This gives validity even to the integrity of the Word of God. Oh, yes, indeed. The Bible's true. The Bible's been preserved. The nation of Israel has been preserved. And the integrity of God is preserved. Why, it teaches very clearly here that even though Israel has gone away from God as a nation, that throughout history God has corrected them, chastised them as a nation, has punished them for the evil deeds that they have committed. They're not without excuse. They could not stand before anybody and say, look how righteous a nation we are. We know that's not true. Although there are many who are seeking after the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and are realizing the truth of the Word of God, many Jews throughout the world could care less about what the Bible says. But nevertheless, despite the truth of that, it does not give you a right to raise up your hand against the nation of Israel, because God has promised that this nation as a people will survive. And what a blessing that is. Israel is indestructible, folks. Israel's indestructible. Isaiah 54 verse 17 tells us, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I mean, the Bible say, hey, you couldn't come up with the biggest nuclear atomic bomb. You couldn't come up with the biggest weapon in the world to destroy this nation. In fact, I'd be real careful about trying to do that anyway. It is a well-known fact that Israel does possess nuclear warfare. I read an article some time ago that they have the capability of sending out some nuclear, what they call tactical nuclear bombs, and so that they wouldn't blow up Israel, it would blow up all the other countries and have specific targets of that. Now, folks, but God says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So anybody that seeks to rise up against you, God says they're going to be condemned. Wow, what a solemn warning. The Bible tells us Israel is indestructible. Their seed is indestructible. Their land is indestructible. And God also teaches in Isaiah 54, verse 10, that God's love for them is indestructible. How about that? Verse 10, the Bible says, for the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Ah, what a blessing! God's love, God's favor for the nation of Israel is indestructible. And so we see from the Bible that the nation of Israel, the chosen people of Israel, the apple of God's eye, that they are being protected by God. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Oh, I know, you can bring them into captivity, perhaps. You can kill 6 million of them. You may torture some of them, but the people themselves will survive, and they will come out to be still in existence. In fact, God says they're chosen. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 to 8, the Bible says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Referring to that nation now, the Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, take it up with God. God. Some may say, well, God's a racist. Oh, God's a racist. No, listen, if God was a racist, what is it to you? That's none of your business anyway. God is not a racist in the sense that he doesn't care about the other nations. That's not true. But he has raised up Israel to be what I call the model nation. It's the nation to be an example to all nations. It's a special nation. He's chosen. They haven't chosen him as much as he has chosen them. The Lord did not set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number than any people. This is what God's saying. For you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Israel can't say, well, look how good we are. Look how prosperous we are. Look how smart we are. They cannot claim any of that as the means of earning favor with God. For God says that none of those things has earned them favor. It's simply because God loves you. God loves Israel. That's right. God loves the Jew. And it's not because they are special themselves, but it's because God has made them special indeed. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, for what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? This is what Moses told the nation of Israel back in those days. And indeed, dear folks, God has ordained and has chosen the Jews to be a special nation. But my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You see, just because they're chosen doesn't mean they have a license to go against him. Does not mean they have a right to devise their own traditions apart from the Word of God. Every Jew that's ever been born needs to know what the atonement is, the blood atonement. For God has only given that as a means for the remission, for the forgiveness of our sins. He said that, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it upon the altar for an atonement for your souls. I mean, there is no other way. We must have shedding of blood, which was a picture of the Messiah who was to come and to die for our sins. Yes, he surely was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He fulfilled all those messianic prophecies of the one who would come to die for you and I. And so, beloved, if you are Jewish, I would petition you that the Bible, the Tanakh, including the New Covenant, which is a fulfillment of the Old Covenant, that you would consider what it says. Why has God allowed all of this to happen? Yes, God has raised the Jews to be a mighty people for him. And even though they are a mighty people, they still need to be spiritually saved and regenerated. God needs to save them individually. The only way that can be done is through the precious blood of the Lamb of God, whose name is above every name. He is Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are these truths in the Word of God, but they've also been heralded by many of the old-time rabbis who believe the Bible and recognize the messianic prophecies. In fact, the Talmud in the Sanhedrin 97a, the quotation here about the Tana Debi Elihu teaches the world is to exist 6,000 years. In the first 2,000, there was desolation. 2,000 years, the Torah flourished. And the next 2,000 years is the messianic era. But through our many iniquities, all these years have been lost. And that's something. This is what the Rebbes have said. In fact, some of the Kabbalistic rabbis say that we are actually in very close to the year 6000. Some actually say we're in the year 6001, and that this is the year 2001, that the Messiah will come. Now, I'm not a time predictor, and I'm not going to get into all that right now, but it is quite interesting. I do agree prophetically that there are 6,000 years, and then Mashiach, Messiah, will come. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will come the second time. But the Talmud, Sanhedrin 97a, goes on to say he should have come at the beginning of the last 2,000 years. The delay is due to our sins. The sad thing about it, even the Talmud recognized that he should have come 2,000 years ago. And the good news is, if you're Jewish, and if you're a Gentile, the good news is he has already come. He has come 2,000 years ago. But because of the blindness of the eyes of Israel, they cannot see that. But if a Jewish heart is willing to turn to the truth, God says that if it turns to the Lord, God will unveil, will take the veil of Moses off their eyes, and they'll see perfectly clearly that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Many of the rabbis over and over again testified of who the Messiah was, what he was going to do, even when he was going to come. In fact, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Ziskenu." Yes, indeed. There is two comings of the Messiah. The first, he had to come to die in order to redeem mankind from his sin. The second time, he's going to come as a judge. Rabbi Huna counted among us the seven names of the Messiah. Also, Jehovah Ziskenu. This recorded in the Midrash, Mishlei 19:21. Mishrash Telim 21:2. God nameth also the King Messiah with his own name. Midrash Echa 1:51. What is the name of King Messiah? To this answered Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Jehovah is his name. For it is written, this is the name whereby he shall be called, Jehovah Ziskenu. So it's even obvious through here that the Messiah is not just going to be a mere man. He is going to be God himself. The Messiah is going to be God himself. Well, surely that fits the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus is not just a mere man. He's just not another person who claims to be a great prophet. He is God himself. He surely is. And he is the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies. He is God manifest in the flesh. That's what the New Covenant says. And great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He sure was. And this is the beauty of the Word of God. Well, I just want to say that without any question whatsoever, the Messiah is coming. He's coming real quickly. Yes, we see the signs of the times about us. Even Rabbi Moses Alech, he said, "And this is the name whereby he shall be called, Jehovah Ziskenu, because of the right and the righteousness of his being." The Targum Jonathan said, "And I will raise unto David the Messiah, the righteous." Well, this is because they have understood what Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Well, according to Rabbi Jose the Galilean, in the Babylonian Talmud, Tract Derek Eretz Sula, he said, "Also the name of the Messiah is called Peace, for it is written, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Folks, this is not just names that are given. This is identifying the very character, the very being of the Messiah. Targum Jonathan said, "Messiah, whose peace will be multiplied upon us in those days." The Messiah is God himself who's going to reign upon this earth. And so, what a great thing if you would accept the truth. And if you do, if you receive the truth, the Bible says the truth shall set you free, and you shall be free indeed. Before we conclude for today, I want to read some things here that I of some historical background regarding the land of Israel. It's so very important to understand that the very history, the modern history of Israel, that the United States had a big part in the establishment of the modern state of Israel. Of course, God's hand was in that. We know that. So for the United States to go against or renege or do anything to upset the original intent would be obviously a disgrace. But I have a very interesting letter here that I've copied some time ago by one of the greatest independent Baptist preachers of our century. And the dear brother who lived some years ago had a lot of influence in the Independent Baptist movement, of which we're a part of. Of course, it's not a denomination. It's simply Independent Baptist churches that claim Christ as their head individually, but we nevertheless fellowship together. But here's a very, very interesting letter that I have copied to show the consensus of Bible-believing Christians, really, throughout the world. And it was addressed to Harry S. Truman, former President of the United States. It was written in October the 2nd, 1947, and it was at Fort Worth, Texas. This is the letter. It says, "Dear Mr. President, Mr. Matthew J. Connolly wired me New York October the 1st and suggested that I write you certain matters of my trip to Palestine," because at that time it was called Palestine. All right, he says here, "First, I want to thank you for your very kind personal letter of August the 5th, which was of invaluable assistance in all my travels. I have given extensive study to the Jewish-Palestinian question." Isn't that interesting that really it was the Jews who were called the Palestinians, and now the Jordanian Arabs who lived in Palestine are calling themselves the Palestinians. Oh my, what a mishmash. But anyway, he goes on to say here, "The issue is whether we will take the authority of the Bible of our mothers or the Koran with the sword and flame. In that whole controversy, the big issue is who owns the land? Who has the title to that land? If that question is settled, there is no other question." Amen to that. Hallelujah. "The Lord God Almighty in Genesis, the 17th chapter, specifically states that the title to Palestine is given not to Ishmael, the ancestor of the Arabs, but to Isaac and his seed forever. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Genesis 17:19 is what he quoted from. "This covenant was confirmed to Isaac," Genesis 26:3. goes on here to say, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. This covenant was also confirmed to Jacob, Genesis chapter 28:13. And behold, the Lord stood before it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham of thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. The covenant was likewise confirmed to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3 to 5. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch them. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. David specifically states the title to that land is to the Jews and the descendants of Jacob, Psalms 105, 9-12, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. 1,300 years ago, the Arabs were usurpers, Muhammad with fire and sword, and they were robbers of property that belongs to the Jews. A second and very important authority, in addition to scriptural authority, Great Britain was given mandate over Palestine for the purpose of Jewish immigration into that land and for making it a national home. This mandate was confirmed by the United States government and by 57 nations of the League of Nations. The terribleness and of the cause of all this present trouble is that Neville Chamberlain, Prime Minister, put on a twofold appeasement in 1939. First with Hitler, and that brought on World War II. Second with the Arabs, who were the allies of Hitler. Chamberlain violated international law, giving that land as a national home for Jews in 1939, and said only 70,000 Jews would be permitted to go for the next 5 years, and after that, none except by the consent of the Arabs. But the mandate made no such restrictions. Therefore, the present Jewish immigration into Palestine is not illegal, it's legal. Based on the mandate given to Great Britain over Palestine and confirmed by the United States government and confirmed by the League of Nations, the Jews invested $650 million in Palestine, built cities, public works, and the curse of God Almighty is on every hand that violates this most solemn agreement, the mandate three times over confirmed. Now, Mr. President, it certainly is a matter that should cause us to stop and think that the Arab leaders from the Grand Mufti on down were allies of Hitler, and it ill becomes them to come now into court with their hands dripping with the blood of the Jews, 6 million of them murdered by Hitler. I interviewed many Arab leaders, and without question I found that the whole crowd are for Stalin, just like they formerly were for Hitler. While this country was fighting Hitler, 30,000 young Jews from Palestine volunteered and went to the battlefront, and not a single Arab regiment. If the Arabs and Jews in Palestine were left alone, they would get along and settle their troubles. Russia is doing everything at her command to foment the trouble. The time has come and long past when the United States should keep its promise and take a firm stand for law and order in that land that has given the world its Bible and Savior. Yours very sincerely, J. Frank Norris, one of the greatest independent Baptist preachers of our era. He wrote that letter to President Harry S. Truman, October the 2nd, 1947, from Brother Frank Norris's office, Fort Worth, Texas. He did get a response, by the way, by the president. Here's the letter from the White House, October the 7th, 1947. Dear Dr. Norris, I am most grateful for your thoughtful letter of October 2nd. I deeply appreciate having the benefit of this expression of your views because I know that you have given long and extensive study to the Jewish-Palestinian question. Very sincerely yours, Harry Truman. So, we see here that Harry Truman responded in an amiable way to Frank Norris's letter of 1947. And as we know history, we know that the former President Harry Truman indeed endorsed the nation of Israel. Oh, what a blessing that was when he did so. We know that there were other men as well involved in influencing Harry Truman, but more than anything, it was God Almighty that persuaded him and worked on him to do that which was only right, to be behind the nation of Israel. Are you behind the nation of Israel? Well, if you are, then that's the will of God.
Keep his covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heavens.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire, receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven, and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question. Is prophecy unveiled? If you are not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127 USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.